Your Bible open to the Gospel of John, if you would. John chapter 20 is where we're going to begin with our study. Maybe that's starting to sound familiar to you, open to the book of John, not necessarily done on purpose, but so far in this calendar year, we've been spending our time in our 9:30 hour in the Gospel of John. We wrapped up a series on the I Am statements just a few weeks ago, starting in the book of John. Of course, that took us into the book of Revelation. I want to come back and go through John again, and this time I want to look at the seven signs of Jesus. The Gospel of John is different than the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in many different ways, and one of the ways is the purpose for the book and the arrangement of the book. The book of John, the Gospel of John, appears to be arranged around seven miracles that Jesus performed during his ministry. In chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we have the thesis statement of the Gospel of John. What is the purpose for the Gospel of John? What is the Gospel of John all about? If those questions are asked, I would take someone straight to this passage. This describes it. This explains what John is accomplishing as he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I want you to notice, we'll just pause. I want you to notice some things that we can learn, that we can understand, just by a very brief reading of these familiar verses. Number one, these signs, these miracles that Jesus performed were in the presence of his disciples. That means that they are all verified by multiple eyewitnesses. There's no doubt whatsoever with anybody that has a critical thinking mind, an honest heart, there's no doubt whatsoever that these miracles took place. Secondly, they are written to produce faith in the heart of the reader. That's the purpose. As you're reading this book, that you will come to believe, and specifically believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God. And this belief about Jesus will cause one to have life in his name. Not only will it have an impact on the life that we live here and now, but it has an impact on eternity. So that being the case, the Gospel of John is not a book that we can dismiss. It's not a book that we can treat lightly. It's not a book that we can ignore. Eternity hinges upon this book. But the book is focused on signs. John says Jesus did many other signs. These are written. So that's the focus, and that's the focus we're going to take as we have this brief series. All of the gospel records record numerous miracles that Jesus performed. None of them claim to record every miracle. Matter of fact, the last verse we have in the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. What's interesting, though, about John, although John appears to be a book that is centered around the miracles of Jesus, he only records nine of them. I think perhaps there are more than nine, but we're going to focus on the seven, and that doesn't include his resurrection in chapter 20 and a miraculous catch of fish in chapter 21. I think there's another miracle in chapter 21 as well. When we talk about the seven signs, we're talking about the miracles he performed before his crucifixion. Our Lord's teaching here and our Lord's work that is done in the Gospel of John, the teaching is important, the interaction with individuals is important, but it's the miracles that seem to be the centerpiece of the gospel. Now, what's interesting about the Gospel of John, it is the gospel that focuses on the miracles of Jesus, but it never uses the word miracle. Now, if you've got a newer translation that has the word miracle in the Gospel of John, I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm going to show you the Greek. In the Greek text, the word miracle is not found, and it's not used in the Gospel of John. I think that's very interesting for a book that is centered around the miracles of Jesus. Instead, John uses the word signs and works. He uses those two words. I want to take a brief step away from the Gospel of John. Again, we're talking about signs, and that's what we're going to look at primarily today, is the use of this word signs. I want to step away from the Gospel of John just a page or two. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, when the Apostle Peter is preaching the Gospel for the first time, he starts, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God." Attested means certified, approved, set forth as the one. "A man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." I want to take a look at these three words. These three words that appear here in Acts 2, verse 22, talking about how God attested or God certified Jesus before the people. Number one is the word miracles. Miracles is translated from the Greek word dunamis. This is the root of our English word dynamite. It has to do with power. But as it's used here, it has to do with miraculous power. It's used of works of a supernatural origin and character, works that could not be produced by natural agents or natural means. This word dunamis is used 37 times in the synoptics, never once in the Gospel of John. The next word that we had was the word wonders, translated from the Greek word teres. This emphasizes the impact that it has upon those who witness it. It is referring to someone or something strange that causes the beholder to marvel. This word is used only 16 times in the New Testament, only once in the Gospel of John, at chapter 4, verse 48. Most of the time it appears in the book of Acts, and it's talking about how people responded to the miracles that were done by the apostles and other Christians with those gifts. And then there's this last word that we're going to focus on this morning, is the word signs. The word signs is translated from the Greek word semion. It has to do with an indicator, that it's something that indicates something. It's something that points to something else. Art and Gingrich, in their lexicon, says of semion, "An event that is an indication or confirmation of intervention by transcendent power." Quite a wordy definition there. Lowe and Nida, in their lexicon, say of Simeon that it is an event which is regarded as having some special meaning. So get that. An event that has a special meaning. And then goes on to say this, "For the Gospel of John, a semion is not simply a miraculous event, but something which points to a reality with even greater significance." Now, I've spent some time focusing on this because John is the Gospel of signs, and we're looking at the seven signs of Jesus. What are the purpose of the signs? The purpose of the signs were to point towards some truth about Jesus. That's what these miracles are doing. Now, we've got the three words. We've got miracle, wonder, and sign. And we could look at a passage like Acts 2, verse 22, and think, well, these are three different things. Some of them are miracles, some of them are wonders, and some of them are signs. Now, actually, all three are talking about the same things. They're talking about the same things. They're just looking at them from different perspectives. A miracle is looking at the presence of the power that is there, the fact that some divine force is at work. The wonder is what the effect that it produces in those who see it, those who witness it. The sign is the spiritual truth that it is pointing to. Remember, we often point out the fact that the purpose of miracles is confirmation. Well, a sign is just what it is that it's confirming. And as we're looking at the Gospel of John, these seven signs are confirming truths about Jesus. While the display of power is impressive, and while the reaction of the witnesses is important, and they do play a role in the Gospel of John, the emphasis of the signs is on the spiritual truth that is conveyed by each miracle. Jesus understood this about the signs. Jesus acknowledged that the signs were given primarily for this purpose. There's no doubt Jesus worked miracles because he was moved with compassion for individuals who were suffering. We read of that a number of times in the gospel accounts. And there's no doubt that people benefited physically from these miracles, that their sickness was healed, their injuries were repaired, their lives were restored, their bellies were filled, the demons were cast out of them. No doubt that people benefited physically, but according to the Gospel of John and according to Jesus himself, the emphasis of these miracles is placed on what they say about him. Notice four different passages I want to look at. The first is in John chapter 5 and verse 36. Now, in John chapter 5, Jesus is being criticized, he's being questioned, he's being challenged about his claim to be equal with the Father. And Jesus says, now, if I make that claim myself, it means nothing. But I'm not the only one making the claim. He says, John the Baptist bore witness of this. He'll go on and say that God the Father is bearing witness of this and the Scriptures bear witness of this. But the second piece of evidence he gives in verse 36 are the miracles that he's performing. But I have greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So as they are seeing Jesus perform these miracles, and as we, as readers of the gospel, are seeing Jesus perform these miracles, one thing that we're learning is that Jesus indeed was sent by the Father. There's another place where Jesus makes this kind of a statement about the works. In John chapter 9, when Jesus and the apostles are escaping an attempt on his life and they leave the temple, chapter 9, verse 1 says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And of course, he's going to go on and heal this man, and that's one of the seven signs in the Gospel of John. Jesus says that the miracle that is done is proof that God is working. It's the working of God. In the next chapter, in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, John chapter 10, verse 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. We want to know, are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. To which Jesus replies, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus has said as much, but even more than that, Jesus says, the works that I do, they are a sign pointing to this reality. What reality? This is the Christ. The Christ has come into your midst. That's what these miracles were saying. And the miracles were saying that Jesus is the Son of God. If we look down just a few verses, let's read verses 31 through 38. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. So what they're understanding what Jesus is saying, that he is God, that he's equal with God, which to them is blasphemy, and it is, unless he really is equal with God. Is there any proof of that? Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." So Jesus says, the works that I do, the miracles that I perform, the signs, they verify the claim that has been made that I am the Son of God. Notice, Jesus said these miracles verify that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, he took the apostles aside. "Who do men say that I am?" And then he asked the important question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gives the great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," to which Jesus replies, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you." How did the Father in heaven reveal this truth to Peter? Did he yell it from heaven? Did he whisper it in his ear? Did he lay it on his heart? No. Peter had a front row seat to the signs that Jesus performed. Peter, although he can be very dense at times, just like you and me, Peter was able to figure this out, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Notice also how Jesus' signs were received. John also records how people reacted to the signs. Some people believed. Some people saw the signs and they believed. I want to go through seven verses very quickly. I'm aware of the clock. We've got some ground to cover here. In chapter 2, verse 23, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. In chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." How does he know this about Jesus? This is the first time he's talked to him. "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." In chapter 6 and verse 2, "Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say this as well. Word went about. Jesus is healing people, so multitudes come. But John says they're signs. This same group that comes to Jesus at the beginning of the chapter witnesses one of his signs. Here he feeds the 5,000. And notice, after they actually participate in this sign, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." They are seeing that these miracles are pointing to something significant. They're pointing to some realities. They're starting to put two and two together. In chapter 7, verse 31, as a lot of discussion is being made about who Jesus is, and many of the people believed in him and said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done?" What are they saying? He has to be the Christ because of the signs that he is doing. In chapter 9 and at verse 16, this is when Jesus heals the man who is born blind. Well, that happens on the Sabbath day, and this man is brought before the Pharisees, and of course the Sabbath has been violated. But John lets us see that even among the Pharisees, there's division regarding who Jesus is. "Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there was a division among them." Not every Pharisee rejected Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. No doubt he's one of the dissenters here, saying that he works these signs. He's not a sinner. And we know at the very end, he is a follower of Christ, or at least he's helping Joseph to bury him. Chapter 11, verse 47, this is after Lazarus is raised from the dead. "Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, 'What shall we do? For this man works many signs.'" Now, the chief priests and Pharisees may not be believing him, but they see that many people are. So many people saw the signs that Jesus performed and they believed, but not everyone. Not everyone. John is honest about this in John chapter 12, verse 37, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. So John is honest about that. Here's something else I noticed just this past week working on this material. John's gospel places the reader firmly within this controversy. As you're reading through the gospel of John, there is this controversy. Who is Jesus? Is he the Christ or not? Well, there's that controversy. We've seen just a little bit here how that's playing out. John places the readers of his gospel firmly in the midst of this controversy. In John chapter 20, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has appeared to the apostles on that resurrection day, but Thomas wasn't there, remember? Thomas wasn't there, and so they find Thomas, they say, "We have seen the Lord," verse 25. So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. I think that's another miracle there. You don't just walk right through a wall. I think that's another miracle here. But Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Who could that be? Notice the very next verse in John's gospel is the one we started with. The thesis statement of the gospel. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Isn't that interesting that John records Thomas's reaction, records what Jesus says, "Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." And then this statement, I noticed verse 30 begins with the word "and." The word "and" is a conjunction. It joins what is said in verses 30 and 31 with what is said in verse 29. What is said in verse 29? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And then John pulls us right into the midst of this. This is written so that you will believe. You can't just read the Gospel of John, shrug your shoulders, and walk away. John wrote his Gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to bring men to a choice, a decision point about Jesus. We're either going to reject the one who was attested by the signs, or individually we're going to recognize the validity of the verified signs. We didn't see them, but there were multiple eyewitnesses who did. They happened. We're going to recognize the validity of these signs, and we're going to accept Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Indeed, the Gospel of John is the gospel of belief, and we are brought right into this controversy of who Jesus is, and we have to make up our own minds. So what we're going to do is we're going to back up, and we're going to look at these seven signs of Jesus, and they are here on this slide. The miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospel of John, turning water into wine, was the first of his miracles. Chapter 2, healing the nobleman's son, healing the lame man, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing the man born blind, and raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, what these seven selected miracles or signs do is they are working together as John is building his case for the fact that Jesus is the only true answer to our greatest needs. Remember, a miracle is a display of power, and it is a sign that the one who does the miracle has power over something. What we're going to note as we go through this series is that Jesus has power over all these different areas. He has power over quality, power over distance and disease, power over quantity.
We've got a multitude here. We've got just a handful of bread and fish. Let's see what Jesus does with that. Power over nature. You and I can't walk on water. Power over misfortune. Who sinned, this man or his parents? He was born blind. Nobody. Time and chance happen to us all. You and I are victims of time and chance. Jesus has power over time and chance. And of course, the greatest enemy is death. And he has power over death when he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Collectively, these seven signs in the Gospel of John show us that Jesus has complete control of all the things over which we have no control. And that's why we need Jesus. These miracles, these signs combined with the I am statements of the Gospel of John reveal the all-sufficiency of Jesus, his ability to satisfy our every need. So in the weeks to come, we're going to join the disciples in witnessing Jesus perform these seven signs. We're going to look at the circumstances surrounding each miracle. We are going to look at how the people reacted to it. But most importantly, we're going to look at what each one of them is telling us about Jesus. And when we're finished with this study, we're going to know more about our Lord than when we're starting today. And when we're finished with this study, if we haven't done so already, we're going to be willing to accept that challenge that we do believe that Jesus is the Christ. No doubt whatsoever that he is the Son of God, and we stand firmly on the promise that we have life in his name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to come together to worship you and to dig into your word. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for the Gospel of John. We pray that you would bless us as we read into it and we learn more of who your Son is as you presented him to the world through these accompanying signs. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to serve you and draw closer unto you through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.